Today's message is called Wear Who You Are. Isn't that like the cutest like toddler ever? Some of you are like, it's not as cute as my kid. Wear Who You Are. What we're going to be talking about today is the scriptures that talk about once you know who you are. And if you are born again in Christ, your identity now does not rest on what title you have at work, who you are in your family, whether you're like the fun aunt or the strict mom or none of these other identities or these secondary identities matter in regards to knowing who you are in Christ. How many of you know that there's times in your life that your identity may change? You may be somebody of a certain position at work, and then you might perhaps get a raise and now carry a different title with different responsibilities. That's just one example. So your identities can change, but once you become born again in Jesus Christ, born from above, your truest identity, the truth of who you are, is who He is. And that's so important to understand that. We're not poor sinners saved by grace. You were a sinner that was saved by grace, but the Bible says once that takes place, now you are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And some of us may have a testimony like, I don't feel like everything became new in that very moment, because, you know, you may still have struggled with some things. But the Bible talks about in your spirit, the moment that you got born again, it's your spirit that got born from above. So in your spirit, the moment you gave your life to Jesus, the day that you said, I declare Him as Lord over my life, instantaneously in the spirit, you became identical with Jesus in His spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him. It compares in the Bible that, like in marriage, when a husband gets married to a wife, it says the two will become one flesh. So in the same way that when you join yourself to the Lord, because the church is His bride, He is our husband. When we join ourselves to the Lord, we don't become one flesh with Him. We become one spirit with Him. And again, this is so important because our five senses, all of the darkness in this world, the only thing that Satan can do to you is lie to you about who you are. If you, again, are just like, well, I'm just a sinner, I'm going to sin, I'm probably going to sin tomorrow and all of that, you realize you're talking yourself into something that God does not declare you to be. God says you're a new creation in Christ. And I'm not saying that, I don't want you to hear me saying that once you become in Christ that you're just going to carry out everything perfectly, but the Bible says if you are led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So if we actually could walk in the Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I guarantee you by what the Word of God says, you would not sin. So what is the problem? How do we miss the mark is when we step out of being led by the Spirit and start to give in to the desires of our flesh, which is why the Bible says over and over and over, you're not to train your flesh, you are to die to your flesh. That's just the intro. You ready for the scriptures? All right, so we're wearing who we are. Again, this is saying put on what you already are on the inside. So we're going to start off in Ephesians 4. So if you have your Bibles, your YouVersion app, it'll be up on the screen, and then also if you have the Seven Mountains app, you can pull it up right on here, and all of these scriptures that are on the slide are also in the app under the notes section. Okay, Ephesians 4, starting at 21. It says, if you have heard Christ and have been taught by Him. Now, some of you may say, I've never heard the voice of Christ. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word. And he's the Word made flesh. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And so praise Jesus that we have the Bible today so that we can always read his words, especially his direct words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then his continued words speaking through the apostles and the rest of the New Testament. So he says, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, if you have heard Christ and have been taught by him, meaning discipled by him, as the truth is in Jesus. This is important because that means anything that is not in Christ is subject to be deception or darkness or deceit or trickery. And again, I want you to hear me, brothers and sisters, that's all the devil can do. The devil's goal is to lie to you. The Bible says to put on the full armor of God so you can withstand the trickery of the devil. He didn't say his power. He didn't say his ability to kill you. It didn't say any of that. It says the wiles or the trickery of the devil. Now, when we begin to believe the lies, that's how it affects our life. We're actually the ones that give power to the enemy through the lies that he tells us. That's how we invite sin into our life. That's how we invite downfall into our life, and that we don't have victory is by believing the lie. So if you have heard Christ and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, he tells us what to do. Put off the old identity and your way of life, which is corrupted through deceitful lusts. So this is what I was saying earlier about instantaneously when you are born again in your spirit, you have become perfect. You have become holy. You have become blameless. When God sees you, he doesn't see you. He sees his son. But it's saying, if you've heard, if you've believed, if you've received, and if you have been taught by the truth, now that you know the truth, it says put off the old identity and your way of life. So there was a certain way that you identified in life before Christ. There was a certain way that you carried yourself in life. And then he's saying, now that you have been taught by Christ, now live differently. Now put on or put off your old identity and put off your old way of life. So do you realize that, anybody ever heard the expression growing up, well, the devil made me do it? That's not true. Now, the devil may have lied to you, but you made a conscious decision to do it. And so that's what it's saying. It's saying, because of what Christ has done, now here's your part. When Jesus said, it is finished, he wasn't kidding. It was finished. He finished it. He completed it. He did away with sin, and he made us new through faith in him. There's no more that God is going to do this side of heaven in regards to your salvation until Jesus returns one day. It's done. It's completed. If you're going, oh, God, make me a better Christian, I don't know if you know this, but there are wrong ways to pray. If some of you are like, man, I've been praying for so many things and I haven't been receiving any of them, maybe you're praying wrong. You don't ask God to make you better Christian. You say, Lord, open my eyes to whom you made me to be so that I can walk in who you made me to be. That is way different than, Lord, change my behavior. Your behavior is going to change based on whether you believe lies or whether you believe truth. So it says that your old identity and your old way of life, I love how it says this. It says that it has been corrupted through deceitful lusts. Now, lust is mentioned a lot in the Bible. Idolatry is mentioned a lot in the Bible. I like this verse because it uses the term deceitful lusts. That tells me that any lust that you have in your flesh is a lie from the enemy. In Galatians, it says, it has this long list of what the works of the flesh are. And it's going to have a shorter list in some of the scriptures that we get to later, but it literally outlines what are the deceitful lusts. And then it ends in the positive, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and meekness. And it says, against such things there is no law. And if we walked in those things, we would not give in to our flesh. So if you're trying to say, Pastor, I want to live better. I want to live in a higher place, and not in a boastful way of just going, I want to live like Christ. How you do that is believing that on the inside you are identical with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and make that your primary reality, the only reality that matters, and then just live your life according to that. So then when someone at your job comes up and just, you know, tells you that you just did terrible on this project, you know, you need to make it right, but that doesn't have to end your world. Because you know what? If God had a refrigerator in heaven, your picture would be on the front. I'm serious. The Bible calls us the beloved. That means the loved of God. And because you mess up a project at work, or you might lose your temper and yell at your kids or kick the dog, it's okay. You're still the beloved of God. Because God loves us, we talked about this last week, unconditionally. We love circumstantially. Well, I'll like that person. I'll love that person until they do something to me. No, we are called to love people unconditionally because the Bible says that God is love. And if he loved us this way, we should so love others. So the way of life before Christ and even after Christ, because again, the devil's not going to be like, oh my goodness, they got born again. They went under the water. They got dunked. I can't mess with them anymore. No, he's going to lie to you now more than ever. Because he knows you've heard the truth and it has set you free. And so now he has to come against the truth. You know how I know that he does it so quickly? Jesus was in the River Jordan. He got baptized by John the Baptist. And when he went under, it says that the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended on him. And literally there was an audible voice that people heard that said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." He had an audible voice from his father tell him that he is his son. I'm pretty sure the devil was there. Because immediately it says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and there he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And the devil is attacking who he is. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He's attacking his identity. And people would say, well, you know, if an audible voice came from heaven and told me that I was the beloved Son of God, then, you know, that I'd never get tripped up. That's not true. Because you have the Word of God that tells you in multiple scriptures, in multiple different people who wrote it down, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that you are the loved of God. Yet on any given week, our emotions go like this. And brothers and sisters, that ought not to be. Because his love for you never changes. So we're supposed to throw off the old identity, throw off the old self, which is corrupted through deceitful lusts, lying lusts. Everything that your flesh lusts for is a lie from the enemy to try to throw you off, get you tripped up. And if he can get you in those things deep enough, some people are just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with God. I'm done with Jesus. And then they walk away. That's his goal, is to lie to you long enough so that you'll make that decision. Because in the same way you can make the decision to come to Christ is the same way you can make the decision to walk away. If you need to know anything about the devil, just remind yourself, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The Bible says that when he speaks, he is speaking lies, and he's speaking his natural language. I remember a pastor said one time that, so he had somebody coming in his office, and they were real distraught, and they're just like, I had this dream, and in this dream, I know it was the devil, and the devil was going to tell me I had 3 days to live. And the pastor's like, praise God, that means you're going to make it, because the devil is a liar. Well, you know, the devil's just telling me I'm just a worthless Christian, and I sin all the time. Awesome. That means you are the beloved of God, and you're going to strive and walk in the Spirit and not sin. Because it's going to be the opposite of what the devil tells you, because the devil is a liar. Why do we listen to the devil? I mean, think about it. How many times when we are really struggling with something in our own lives, we sit here and we meditate on it and think how I could have done that differently, and it's all a big waste of time. Instead of going, when that thing comes against you, get in the Word or read this and understand who you are in Christ. You have to encourage yourself. You have to remind yourself. You know, the Bible talks about David, who was a man after God's own heart, encouraged himself in the Lord. If you're just like, Lord Jesus, I just need some encouragement right now. He's like, I gave you a whole book of encouragement. I'm just going to say this because there's a lot of people there. Brothers and sisters, we need to walk better in our Christian lives. And I'm not talking about beating us up because of sin. Yeah. But I'm saying the world is watching. And we're not supposed to, you know, try to argue people to Christ. We're supposed to be light and love, shine bright, be salt, be light, and people will see us and want what we have. Okay, so we've already covered what not to do. Don't give in to deceitful lusts. Cast off the old way of life. Look at this. And be renewed how? In the spirit of your mind. Everything you need to know about spiritual warfare is between your ears. That's where the warfare happens. That's where the lies come in. That's where the lies are coming against truth that's in your head. The Bible talks about strongholds in the Bible, and that it says everything that comes against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ says, you're a beloved son or daughter, the devil's going to be like, no, you're not, and here's all the reasons why you're not. And you can just go, oh, the devil's talking, it must be a lie. So it's strongholds, it's things that you have believed. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, some of you may have not grown up in the best of home, and you may have not had the best parents, and maybe people told you all the time, you're a loser, you're never going to amount to anything. And it's time to forgive. It's time to go, they were not in the light. They were in darkness. They didn't understand who Jesus is, because if they did, they wouldn't have spoke those things over me. And so, first of all, it's time to forgive those people. And second, I'll believe that it was the enemy working through them to make sure that you don't shine and become love to people. We have to read the Word. The Word is the truth. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on your new identity, because we've cast the old identity off. Put on your new identity and look at what this says. Your new identity that you're putting on was created according to God. Put on, so you could say it like this, put on your new identity, which is according to God. Put on God. That's crazy. Because again, most pulpits today are telling you about how you're just a sinner saved by grace and you'll never amount to Jesus, and Jesus was God, so you'll never be like him. When Jesus came to earth to model everything that we're supposed to do. You understand, I know we have a hard time because we're not Hebrews, but discipleship means making a carbon copy of yourself. Jesus wasn't like, I'm going to make a carbon copy of you, but of me, but you're going to be so much less than me. No, because if you read the book of Acts, the disciples did everything that Jesus did. They healed the sick, they raised the dead, they cleansed lepers, they cast out demons. They showed mercy to the unmerciful. They loved their enemies. They did everything that Jesus did. But the devil has got his lies and got it in, even in to infiltrate the church, to believe that we're just sitting around here trying to make it until Jesus comes back. We're supposed to shine bright. So our identity that we're supposed to put on is created according to God. Look at this, in true. Or you guys know who have been attending here for a while, in the Greek, the word truth is always understood as reality. So in true, in real, in reality, righteousness and holiness. You in your spirit are as righteous and holy as you will ever be. If you go to feed my starving children and pack manna packs, which I would encourage you to do that, did not make you more righteous and holy. That's the Christ in you doing that. He gets all the glory. I love you. But your righteousness and holiness will get you nowhere. Because the Bible says all my righteousness, all your righteousness is filthy rags. It doesn't say your sin or your life. It says your righteousness. It tells us to believe on Jesus Christ so that he became sin, Jesus. He became sin who knew no sin because he was not sinful, so that we through him could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the only way that you become and get true righteousness and holiness is by being born again or born from above. So if you did something this week where you fell short and you're just like, man, there went my righteousness and holiness, you didn't stop being righteous and holy because you made a mistake any more than you will become more righteous and holy because you did something right. You need to understand that you are righteous and holy and walk like you're righteous and holy so that you will walk out righteousness and holiness in the same way that it is in your spirit. Do you understand? That's Christianity. It's Jesus has paid the price. He's finished it. Get born again and walk in the light as he is in the light. The Bible says to walk and conduct your life just as Jesus. And again, you don't hear that in most places because, oh, I can never be like Jesus. I'm like, well, the Bible disagrees with you. Maybe we should let the word be true and everything else be a lie. How can I be like Jesus? It's not about trying. It's about understanding in the spirit you already are and then just walk in it. Put it on. Wear who you are. Man, we're only in the first verse. The first set of scriptures. But guess what? It doesn't just appear in Ephesians. It appears elsewhere. Let's see it elsewhere. Romans 13. So if you want to go there in your Bibles again or on your on YouVersion, or it'll be up here on the screen. Now, this is still Paul. He wrote to the church in Ephesus. Now he's writing to the church in Rome. It's interesting if you see concepts repeated. So obviously the Holy Spirit wanted Paul to emphasize this in multiple churches. So Romans 13, starting at 12, says this. Let's cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Again, you can't put on what you don't have. If you are in Christ, you're already full of light. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. It's not saying that God is the Father of the stars. It's talking about the Father of lights. Who are the lights? Yeah. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he said, you are the light of the world. So apparently, if we have a hard time going, I don't know about this identity in Christ. Well, guess what? Jesus identifies with you. When he knocked Saul off of his horse or his donkey, whatever he was riding, what did he say? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul's like, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus, the one who you are persecuting. Now, how many of you know Jesus was in heaven? And this was during the church. So Jesus identifies so much with us that when we are persecuted, he tells Saul, you're persecuting me. Jesus says on the last day, we'll stand to him and we'll stand before him and he'll separate as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. And what are the things he says? I was hungry to the sheep and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. Lord Jesus, when did we see you in all of those positions? What you do to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So if Jesus in multiple places says that he identifies with us, then we have then permission to identify with him. So let's cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on light, on the armor of light. Let's conduct our lives honorably in the day. Not at night, in drunkenness, sexual immorality, sinful parties, shameless behavior, strife, discord, and jealousy. On the contrary, look at this. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I could never be like Jesus. There's a command in your Bible that says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in your spirit, you're already identical with them. So what is the command? Not God is going to sovereignly put Jesus Christ on you. No, God in his sovereignty through Jesus Christ on the cross made it possible for us to believe on the finished work on the cross so that we become one with him. But now the command is, now that you are one with him, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't have this scripture up here, but it's the same thing at the end in Ephesians chapter 6, which is taught on a lot, is put on the full armor of God. And if you go through each of those pieces, it's all Jesus. It says, put on your feet the gospel of peace. Well, who's the Prince of Peace? Jesus. Put on the belt of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The shield of faith. Who do we place our faith in? Jesus. Breastplate of righteousness, not our righteousness, his righteousness. Helmet of salvation, he's your savior. I love how the helmet of salvation is the part that protects our brain, because we need to constantly remind ourselves that we're saved in Jesus Christ, we're loved and accepted. Okay, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, sorry, go back. I didn't finish it out. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not accommodate the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Again, if we're in the mindset, if we're walking in the spirit, we're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're putting on everything that the Bible is telling us to put on. Put on your new identity, which is according to God in true righteousness and holiness. If you're constantly making an effort doing this, and that's where your mindset is, you don't have to worry about, I hope I don't sin today. No, you're just walking in love, and you're walking in righteousness, and you're like, I'm walking like Jesus is, because Jesus is on the inside of me, and he saved me. It's the whole thing. Again, the warfare is just keeping your mind stayed on who you are in Christ. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, fixate your mind on things above, not on things below. And it says on things above where Christ is seated. Why? Because you need to behold who Christ is, because as he is, so are we in this world. It's on our shirts. It's 1 John 4:17. All right, now we can go on. Okay, Colossians 3, starting at verse 10. So actually, Colossians 1 and 2 was the one I just quoted about keeping your mind, staying your mind on things above and not on things below. So later on in Colossians 3, starting at verse 10, it says this. Put on, here it is again. Now again, same author, Paul, but now he's writing to the church in Colossae. Put on your new identity, which is renewed in knowledge. There it is again, knowledge. Renew in the spirit of your mind. Renew your mind, renewed in knowledge. According to the image of him. So your new identity, again, is according to the image of him. This is a completely different letter to a completely different church. Who created him? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The Bible talks over and over again with letters to the churches about being very on alert. Keep your eye out for jealousy, envying, strife, and factions. So people think for some reason they're better than somebody else, or, you know, I got baptized by so-and-so, you only got baptized by so-and-so. And it's interesting how appropriate that is today, because I don't know if you knew this during our baptisms, I will be baptizing two people, but then we have a husband baptizing a wife and a father baptizing his daughters. Because you know what? It doesn't matter who the one baptizing is. I just love the unity and the family and all of that. It's not like, well, if the pastor didn't baptize you, only the people that Pastor Josh is baptizing got the full power. No, I'm just a person. trying to be faithful to the Lord. And so is everybody else that's going to get in that tub later. But literally, you had churches that are saying, I was baptized by Paul. And somebody's like, Paul used to be Saul and killed a bunch of Christians. I was baptized by Peter. And they were literally having these discussions. And so over and over, you see that they're writing and saying, stop creating discord. And now they're breaking off. Hey, all the people that were baptized by Peter, come with me. Let's come in. We're a better group over there. People baptized by Paul, get over there. And they were doing that. And we could say, that's so silly. And going, well, let's look at today. There's a certain political party in this country that loves to separate us by every little means. Well, your skin color is different than mine. Well, you know, you've chosen this gender, I've chosen this gender, or even people that, well, you don't believe in this, so you're hateful, so you're over in this category. And what nobody understands is it's all trickery from the enemy to split us into camps and hate on each other. Listen, the Bible is true. And there is not things that all of a sudden God said, in the 21st century, I'll just call that not sin anymore. And that's not my message today, and I'm not going to go through what's sin and what's not sin, because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there are churches out there to this day that are condoning sins and saying all of a sudden, no, that was just the Old Testament. God doesn't call that a sin anymore. And it's sad. That's why the Bible always has to be true. If you ever attend a church where, like, they use one scripture and then preach for the rest of the time, I'd run. And that's not a way for me to tell you to come here, but your pastors and your teachers should be giving you tons of scripture, because otherwise, how do you know if it's true or not if it's not in the Word? I know I was holding my phone up. I'll hold this up. It's not in the Word. Okay, so what is it saying? Yes, on the surface. How many of you know that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and it's encased in flesh, right? Okay, so yes, I'm not in denial, and neither was Paul, that our skin colors could be different. I'm not in denial that some of us may come from a certain background, and some of us may come from a different background. And our ancestors, some of them might be European, some of them might be African. Okay? I can very clearly tell just by looking at you that there are some females in here and there are some males in here. So we're not in denial about in the flesh, in carnality, that we are different. But what the Bible is saying is that the new identity, understanding the Spirit, that is greater than anything. And the problem in today's culture is we're not making it the main thing. That's why we're splitting into camps. And the devil has figured out how to use people in high places to not only split us into camps, but have endless news cycles about telling us why we should be in different camps and why we should hate each other. That is all the enemy. Because the Bible talks about in John 17 that Jesus, before he's going to the cross, he says, Father, I pray that they would be one, just as I am one with you, Father. And then he says, I and them, you and me. So that's why he says, it doesn't matter what background, Greek, Jew, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He wants oneness. He wants us to be one, because he's one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go on. Two verses left, or two sections of scripture. Colossians 3:12. So this is right after this verse. Therefore was referring to the previous statement about how we're one in Christ. Therefore, as the holy and beloved elect of God, this is talking about you if you are in Christ. You are holy, you are loved of God, and you're the elect of God. And again, I just, as a side note, this is not talking about Calvinism, where it's God just picks and chooses other people. This shows you that the elect of God only happens because God chose us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. So how do you get chosen in Jesus Christ before time and space existed? By believing on him. And when you put yourself inside of Christ, I don't know how to explain it other than the way the Bible says it. Something happens. It happens outside of time. So because at a point inside of time, God knew that you were going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is outside of time, he chose you before the foundation of the world. That is mind-blowing. I don't even get it, because we're linear beings. We live inside time. We don't know what exactly that means. But one day, when Jesus returns, we will be like him. And then we'll just go, oh. Can you imagine, like, all of heaven, everybody's like, oh, it's going to be awesome. Okay, so we put on the new identity. Oops, sorry, 12. Therefore, as holy and beloved elect of God, put on. So again, he's telling you what you are: holy, elect, and loved of God. Since you are already this in Christ, therefore put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Strive with one another. Forgive one another. Just a point on forgiving, because I know that seems to be a hard thing for many people. You're like, somebody did this to me, I just can't forgive them. Do you understand that you don't have, as a Christian, you don't have a choice to forgive? Do you like being forgiven by God? Do you like having all of your forgiveness wrapped up in Jesus Christ? Then why would you ever think that you have a right to hold unforgiveness against somebody else? And I love what one person says about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It hurts you. It doesn't hurt them. So forgive one another. If anyone should have a complaint against another, forgive them, look at this, just as Jesus forgave you. Could you imagine if Jesus forgave us the way that we forgive other people? I don't see Jesus in heaven going, oh man, Father, have you seen this guy, Josh, and all the problems that he's had in his life? It's going to be really, really difficult for me to forgive him. I sure hope not. But again, when I say that the world is watching, when I've read you all of these scriptures, and this is just a handful, how many times have we read scriptures that are just as the Lord loves, just as the Lord forgives, just as he walked, so should we. It's just as, it's always comparing to Christ. Why? Because once you understand that that's who you are, then you see his examples on how he did that and going, oh, well, I'm one with him, so that's the same way that I do that. So in the Bible, it says that he freely forgave us, therefore we should freely forgive others. And I know, I get it. There are some people that have been really wronged by people. And I'm not trying to be discourteous to that. I'm not trying to be not empathetic to that. But you know, when we make excuses like, well, you don't understand what this person did to me, the reaction from the person that they're saying it to should be, you don't know what you did to Jesus. Because he hung on that cross for us. He was punished because of our sin and transgression. The Bible says that Jesus died for us when we were his enemies. So again, this is not condemnation. It's an invitation to live as he lived. Forgive them just as Christ forgave you. Okay, let's go to the last verse and the worship team can come up. The whole team. Okay, last verse, Colossians 3. So it's just telling us everybody's good, right? Until we read this last verse. Put on Christ, put on love, put on the image of God. Put it on because it's already on the inside of you if you are in Christ. So after we saw all of these things, it says this, above and beyond all these things. So we saw put on Christ, put on light, the armor of light, put on the new identity, put on the new life. And he says, above all of these things, put on love. Why? Because when you put on love, you're putting on God, right? Because God is love. The Bible clearly says that. So if you're putting on love, you're putting on God, because God is love. So above and beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect unifying bond. Some of your scriptures say the perfect bond of unity. It's the perfect unifying bond. It's the thing that unifies us together. Could you imagine a world if we just loved each other? It doesn't matter what our skin color is. It doesn't matter what our background is. If we just said, I love you with the love of Jesus Christ unconditionally, what things would change in this world? And I already know that you have the love of God on the inside of you or if you're in Christ, because the Bible cannot tell you to put something on that you don't have. Right? If I told my wife to go, hey, go put on a red dress. And she's like, I don't have a red dress. Well, I don't care. Just put it on. She can't put it on because she doesn't have it. The Bible would never tell you to put on something that you don't already possess. So it's the perfect unifying bond. Allow the peace of Christ to rule your heart. We should be walking in perfect peace all the time. Yes, there's going to be storms. The Bible doesn't say that he's going to prevent storms from coming your way. But it says in the midst of the storm, you're to walk in perfect peace if you are letting Christ rule your heart. To which also you were called in one body. And here is the last thing. It's so important. Always be thankful. We are living in a thankless society that always wants more. I don't have this. I want the newest phone. I want the newest car. I want all of these things. And what we really are is ungrateful. And if you are find somebody, if you're kind of known as the complainer, your problem is you're not thankful. And so if you ever want to go, well, I want to change that, put on thankfulness. Spend 90% of your prayer just thanking God for what you already have. And if you're like, well, I don't have a lot, well, start thanking him for everything that you have in Christ, that you're a new creation, that old things have passed away, all things have become new. Thank you for removing sin out of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying with me. Thank you for dying for me, and on and on and on. So it says, it doesn't say sometimes be thankful. It says always be thankful. So wear who you are. If you are in Christ, all Christ is saying is put it on. Wear who you are.